Okay, can you hear me now? Excellent. This is very exciting. I was just about to jump out of my bench up here to, and I think I thought I never will say this, in, you know, like as a first sentence, to challenge the previous speaker. And, you know, I can say this because I know him already, and he's smaller than me. And this is our country, so...
But,
yeah, exactly, and probably, you know, I cannot go back to Germany anymore, but, you know, maybe none of us can, after some javelin thrower said something about Germany. My name is Mika Korhonen, and here's my colleague Ville. The topic today is beyond Scrum. We are going to talk about three things. First of all, if you already have those Scrum teams on place, what to do with those? What to do next? And second of all, what are the values and how can you use the same values to actually transform the whole organization? And then the third thing is that as individuals, as, you know, we are like you, you know, everybody are in the same line here. What can we do as individuals to do that in our organization? And the thing that I wanted to challenge Vasco with is that even though having pilot Scrum teams is a good start, and actually it's something that you should do, the value of those is not like grow from small and then grow and grow and grow and go bigger. But the best lesson from a Scrum team is to learn the values. How does it work? What is the basis of, you know, how do you get motivated? How do you motivate others? What are the values that are behind in Scrum? And then when you go and start to transform the whole organization, you cannot go like small steps and let's do something small. You have to really do major changes in the organization. And this is something that we, Ville and I, have been doing with a bunch of guys. Many of those are sitting here in the audience today, that we have been doing and for the past year. And it's been extremely exciting, extremely rewarding. And of course, we all know, all of you know who are sitting there and who have been watching us doing it. And we are far from the, you know, being ready or something, that the world is not ready. But anyway, we know that these things, what we are going to share with you guys, do work. And what Vasco was saying, it actually works. You know, it can change the way that we do work. It can change the how we get motivated. It can change that, you know, we can have already, we can bring back the fun to the workplace, which maybe was missing for many of us for many years. Well, I think that you can go on next for the some theory or basis for our discussion.
Next, we continue by discussing. The design basis for an agile organization. How do you plan an agile organization? Most of you probably know what the Agile Manifesto says about motivated individuals. Agile Manifesto guides or advises us to build the projects around motivated individuals. And obviously, the message is the same in an organizational level as well. Why this is important? It's important because time, energy, and commitment of capable and creative individuals is the limited resource in every organization and also big part of the competitive advantage of the organizations. Then, next logical question is that where do you get the motivated individuals? And one part of the solution is to design the whole organization by taking into account this question. There are several different theories about human motivation. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, over 50 years old now, probably not that usable in this context. More recent ones exist, and one of them is by Daniel H. Pink. In his theory, he claims that there are three true elements of human motivation: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Autonomy meaning that we have a need to direct our own lives and to direct the work we perform. Mastery, we have a desire to become better in what we do, a desire to learn new things. And then purpose is the third one, gluing this all together. It's the reason why we do the things we do. Now, Mr. Pink claims, and it's easy to agree, that these three things are the source for high performance and also a source for job satisfaction. And in more detail, high performance could mean something like this. When there is high performance, people are able to get results, are able to achieve things, are able to be productive. Certainly, innovation is much about culture and the environment, which comes along autonomy and mastery. Joy and satisfaction implies motivation. And when people have chance to do new things, when they are satisfied, they also learn and grow, and so does the organization. Okay, now.
And maybe if I say in between that these which are marked here with green, these are something that we have actually seen happening in the organization during those 12 months that we have been working. Of course, it's a transition, it's a process. You cannot go from 0 to 100 overnight, but you can definitely see, and I'm sure that all of those people who have been doing this with us can prove that all of these things have been becoming a part of the development over this year.
Okay, there is a big mismatch what the science knows about motivation and about high performance and what the business does. And first thing to do is to forget the things you have learned about organizations that were invented 100 years ago in the beginning of the 20th century. And then, the carrots and sticks that used to, well, probably gave results in different kind of setting, in the assembly lines of factories, are exactly the wrong solutions to the problems that we have in the organizations we work for now. Software development is an art of craftsmanship. It's an intellectual, creative work, and you probably all can agree that there can be a tremendous difference between motivated individuals and motivated teams compared to not motivated ones. And that's also one reason why this question is very important. Then, this simple drawing is a small tool that we have used and you can use as a design basis for the organization. And the key is that you need to understand what is there in the middle of the circle. There could be other things. This is just a small subset of things. But you need to understand what is in there. You need to understand that what human beings are actually made of. And then organize everything else in the organization accordingly. And a couple of examples only: leadership, leaders, management. Obviously, there are organizational structures and many other things you can look, but there are things coming into the circle which you need to take into account, realizing that this is the way how you manage the high performance, this is the way how you manage results and job satisfaction and so on. Okay, what actually is there on the left side of the circle? I don't have the right answers because there are no right answers, but I can probably give you a couple of examples or present how we see things. And here they are, starting from the leaders and leadership. As we see it, leaders in an agile organization are the social architects. They create the environment for collaboration, for interaction, and for the teamwork. And that is not an easy task. They write the constitution and help the rest of the organization write the constitution, meaning the fundamental principles of the organization. And not only they understand the values, and not only they can live by the values, but they set the tone of the values. It's one step or even many steps beyond understanding the values.
And there's also a big difference between knowing what to do and understanding where to go. And we both, with Ville, we have been coming to an organization from outside. As Vasco said, that it's a good method to bring the change from outside. And so me and Ville, we have been both coming from outside to an organization to do so. And it would be wrong to go there and say that I know what should be done, or I know what are your problems, or I know that what should be done next. But what we know is to where to go, what direction to go, and that's a whole lot different. And that's like directing the troops, you know, walking with, accompanying people. It's not about saying, because you know, it would be even against the agile values if you would be managing that, if you would be telling others what to do, that you would fail the first sentence. The first sentence you go and meet the people and you say, I know something, you fail. So it's not about that, but it's about knowing what direction to go.
Okay, a couple of more examples from the management. Definitely, there needs to be time and space in order to autonomy and mastery to happen. And time and space means that, well, people need to be given a permission to do things as they best see. And it also means that you need to let them fail, give them permission to fail. Certainly, people and teams and individuals need the right kind of environment to do the actual work. And they need goals and vision and purpose so they can organize themselves around those. Okay, so a simple idea, a simple tool that we have been using and still use.
Maybe a small story, Vasco, we discussed last time, you know, last night's story. So here's a story about the time and space. What does it actually mean? I have been asked once, or actually many times now, to do something. And then I asked the question back, that can I do whatever I want to do? And foolishly enough, some managers had said yes. Well, they know my background and they know my way of working, but that's actually the time and space that you can ask for. It's not given to you that, okay, I take randomly somebody and, you know, just give permission to do whatever they want. You have to ask for it. And that's the time and space. The time comes from results. If you don't deliver the results, it's end of the game. And it's the last time that you are able to do anything. You have to deliver the results, and that's the time. The space, you pretty much have to ask for. You have to make it for you. Of course, it comes from integrity. It comes from history. It comes from track record. If you haven't done anything in the organization before, if you haven't shown your face, if you haven't put yourself forward, then it would be foolish to go there and ask for permission to do something. Of course, you have to have a track record. You have to have trust. You have to be a trustworthy person. But then that's the time and space that you can actually get if you are willing to take that.
Yeah, and actually you now said the word that I was about to cover next. And time and space, it's much about trust on the both sides. It needs to be there in order this to work. Okay, moving forward.
Yes, what I wanted to get back again is the values. It's really important when you are doing Scrum in teams or in small scale or in pilot projects or whatever you are, use that as a tool to study. How does a human, as human beings work? What's the thing that actually motivates you? How can you get somebody to do something? For example, if you have a colleague who has just got a new bicycle and he really wants to bicycle from his home to work, and then you, as his friend, as his colleague, can support him. You know, you can. So, what are the ways that you can, as a friend or colleague, to do in order to get that guy to take that bicycle, even if it rains, to go there, put the clothes on, and drive the bicycle from home to the office and back? What are the basically things that you can do? Nothing. It's his decision to go and take the step, go outside, take the bicycle and go out, even though it rains. But even though you cannot do it for him, you can still be there for him, assist him, guide him, call him in the morning. Are you coming? Go with him. You know, there are many things that you can do. You cannot take the steps, but you can be there for him. So the Scrum, doing Scrum is the same way. You can learn as a Scrum Master, as a product owner, or as an organizational change agent. You can learn many things about how does the Scrum work, why does the Scrum work, and the values behind are the essential things for you to study before you go ahead. And the next step would be to, okay, how do we create the whole, how do we design the whole organization to support these teams? And before you go live, let's put it this way, you have to know what you are doing. You have to understand the values. And then, you know, when the big managers come and ask, why are we doing Agile? You have to be able to explain. And about Agile, one thing to maybe to understand is that for many people, Agile means not knowing. Agile means that we do this because we don't know. But actually, Agile is not that. Tonight there is a game between, and I'm, you know, I talk about soccer and football all the time because I play, and I know I see many familiar faces who play also. So tonight there's a game against Chelsea against Barcelona, and you should all watch it. And if your wife comes there and says that, what are you doing? You say, I'm working, because they said in the conference, cool conference, that I should watch this game. And I explain why. There is Ashley Cole and John Terry in a defender, as a defender in Chelsea. And then there is Messi. And here's something about physics. I don't know if you know all about football so much, but here's something about physics. If you are taking a step, like big step like this, and at the moment when your weight is is entirely, it's not in this speed or in this speed, but you are in the air. You are taking the step. Is it possible, physically, is it possible to change the direction? No. There is no way to change where you are going when you are up in the air. But look at Messi. Messi is not doing what John Cole and Ashley Cole are doing, taking these huge steps. But he's taking actually two or three steps at the same time, during the same time, as Ashley Cole and John Terry are taking. And what it happens, when Ashley Cole is still in the air, Messi's feet is in the ground, and he's able to change the direction of his where he wants to go with the ball. That is agile. It's not about not knowing where to go, but it's an ability to change decisions that we are, ourselves have already made. And that's something also to learn from those small teams. The values, how does it work? Why does it work? Not only the principles or read the books, but use the teams as tools to study the values.
Yes, exactly. And as the previous speaker pointed out, well, the Scrum is probably about creating the software. And Agile is on top of that. That it's a set of values that we can use to organize the software development in one way or another. But there is something also on top of that that you need to plan and take into account and understand. And because all of this, like Vasco said, okay, it's about creating the software, creating the product, and also having business, but we claim that it's also much more.
And you have to also remember that even though we speak about Scrum, it's not really about Scrum. Because if you have an agile organization which can move like Messi to change the decisions that they have themselves made, then they, of course, can adapt any other way of operating or change it entirely. They can do, you know, some parts of Scrum, they can use some parts of Kanban or whatever methodology they want to, because they are agile. They can all the time change and be as good as they can be. So it's not really about Scrum. You have to go beyond. But then it's also not about agile. You have to go beyond. Because if you think what is really important in life, it's not really agile. It's not about agile. It's about, you know, how, what do I want as a person in this life? How, what do I want to learn? And then, of course, it's not about agile. It can be lean. It can be something else. It can be a whole new way of working. So you have to go, you have to start from the beginning, learn the values, discuss them, study them very carefully, learn them by heart, so that you can go to the next step and realize that even then, after that, there's even a next step. And prepare for that.
Okay. Next slide.
Yeah. Is it?
Okay. How do you make the change? And that is the difficult question now. And that's the question that everybody is asking. I start by talking about what the change in an agile organization is not about. It's not about creating a detailed plan, a step-by-step plan, where you have a clear goal and then you implement it. It's not about that. Certainly, there's planning involved. Targets and goals are being discussed. You must do that, and it's useful. But it's not about 3-month organizational change process. Why? Because type and the nature of the change is totally different. Being agile or becoming agile organization, it's more about the attitude, the environment, the culture, and certainly about the values. And you cannot simply adopt any values overnight. It takes time, and it takes many steps. And in a way, you are never ready. One practical reason or practical example is that when you start, you cannot know what the organization will look like after 6 months. Sounds scary, doesn't it? Now, try to communicate this to your boss. What does he say? Okay, there's my boss now. I have this idea. I want to make this organization more agile. I have lots of ideas and I know where to start, but I cannot tell you what this organization will look like after 6 months. Do I get your approval?
Does it make money?
I'm not sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Then, how do you do it then? And as Vasco pointed out, there's no secret recipe or the secret ingredient to the recipe. How do you do that? And the best you can have is advices and experiences from the others who have done it or have tried it. And we can give you a couple of things. First one is that you cannot copy others. By copying others, you can only become the second best. And chances are that you will do a lot worse. And the reason for this is that the problems and the challenges you will face and you will find are unique to your organization and to your situation. And it means that the solutions you need to find, you need to find them by yourself and understand it.
And again, a story here. We made we tried this with Ville once. We listed down 25 things which were wrong or challenging in one organization. And then we went to see another organization and asked them to play bingo with us. And we read them through and asked them that how many, you know, are matching for you. And actually, the result was out of 25, maybe 10 or 11 were the same in the other organization. So if you also go there and assume that they have the same problems, it's not. They have their own problems. They have some which are similar, some which are different. And then if you try to adapt something, read the paper or try to do replicate something which somebody else has done, you obviously fail.
Okay, it means that the way to move forward in this kind of setting is to go one step at a time, and after each step, look where you are, what has happened, and plan what to do next. And you keep repeating that. That's the same as the Agile teams, or the Scrum teams supposed to be using. The idea is the same, but probably the practices are a bit different on an organizational scale, on an organizational context. It's about the continuous emergent process. Okay. More advices. A good idea is to go to the center of the organization first. And what is the center of the organization? The teams are the center. And at least that's how we want to think. And if the teams don't exist, you start by creating those. And team building and basis of teams is a big topic. We would need another 2 hours for that. So we just continue by saying that it's useful because once you are there in the center, you can influence things. And once you influence things on the center, they start to spread around the whole organization. And also, you are able to take concrete actions, do something in practice there with the people who do the real work. You can pull up your sleeves and start to do something. And then you actually have something, a stories to tell to the rest of the organization that this is what we have done and these are the results now. It's not anymore about planning or creating PowerPoint slides that this could be a good idea. It's about doing something. Yeah, and you do something, and you are able to talk about it. That's important. And once you are inside the teams and work with the teams, you are actually able to see and meet a big part of the organization. And you are able to observe how the system actually behaves. Things most probably look very different from the ground level compared to the upper levels of the organization. And there, you go there and you give people a permission to do things as they see best. You give them time and space and start doing things in practice.
Vasco made it sound very nice and easy and like an easy ride, but actually it's not. If you take an old car, say Lada, we have lots of Ladas here in Finland, or maybe not anymore, they were driven to the other side. But if you, let's say you take an old car, say Lada, and you put it into pieces, and then you build it back on, you cannot call it Mercedes. It's still a Lada. So in the process of building an agile organization, you have to prepare also that you have to change some major parts of the organization. You have to change maybe the engine and the wind wipers, and then you can call it Mercedes. But it, you cannot just do it that, okay, let's go with the same people, go with the same style of management, go with same Excel sheets, and then say, okay, now it's a Mercedes. It's not going to work like that. It's going to be much more rougher ride that you think of. And I can see some questions, and I'm sure we will leave some time for those in the end.
Yeah, in other words, fine-tuning often doesn't help when you have goals like this. Okay, although we underline the importance of the teams and working with the teams, the attitude to the change need to be holistic. And it means that you, of course, need to work with the rest of the organization. Because if you want to have full-hearted commitment of all of the people in the organization, you need to work with those and involve them as well. And, teams are important in software development, and agile teams are involved, but the whole organization needs to be seen as one team. That would be a nice way to put it, at least on attitudinal level. And like we said, yes, at the beginning you have lots of ideas, you have the direction, you know how to start, but at the end of the day, it's the values and the principles that you understand very well that guide you through the change and during the change, and also the people you work together with this process. Together is the one of the keywords here. Okay.
The one last story and word is about social change, about the cultural change, what you need to also address when transforming your organization into agile organization. Let's imagine kids playing in the yard. There are several kids which are playing there, and then there are typically two bigger boys who start to use it as their own game. They start to create their own rules. They start using the smaller kid as their people, and then they are, you know, making the rules so that the bigger guys can rule and be bosses and say something, say about the game to the younger ones. And it starts to become not so nice game when it develops. They start to argue a little bit, and those smaller guys who argue are actually playing the same game with the power game with the older boys. But then there is this small guy who goes aside and then starts his own game. Something nice, something small, starts to create his own rules, his own way of doing, and the other kids, who are also bored with the old game, they join him. They walk, okay, hey, how are you doing? What are you doing? you know, can I join you? And he says, yes, let's do it this way. And the attrition starts to ruin the old game. It's not opposing the old game. It's not opposing. It's just creating a better new environment, which is based on good things, on values, which actually work and which is nicer, and which is better for those people. And then imagine this in your organization. If you're just challenging the top management, the owners, everybody, you are always against something. Does it create something new? No, it doesn't. Do they people change? No, they don't. If you agree, you know, if you challenge them, you are playing the same power game as those who are stronger. And this is a rule about social transformation. If you just disagree with them, if it's playing the games with those rules that those older, bigger guys have defined. The way to go forward is actually to create your own game. Create something inside of your company, inside of your organization, which is based on those better values. And this is the old game and new game about. And if you go to the next slide, because we are running out of time.
So. Oh, okay, but I must add that it's not about a hostile takeover. It's about how do you use the energy and time you have and the ideas you have. Do you play the old game or do you play the new game?
Exactly. And this is everybody of you used, you know, make this kind of tool to your wall when you go home back to work tomorrow. You can divide all the actions, all the emails, all the phone calls, all the conversations, all the things that you do into two. In the minus side, they are things that support the old model. The way you behave, way you treat your colleague, you can choose whether it supports the old model or does your actions, what you are doing daily basis in your organization, support in building better models? And this is something that you and me as individuals can do right away in the organization. Don't think that the whole organization has to change before you can actually start making this happen. You don't have to. All your actions either support the old game, the old power models, or they contribute into better working place, better society, better world. And with this thought, I want to leave you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess we have time for questions.
Yes, if there are some time questions. Now, I saw some hands. Yes.
Are we... Okay, I guess we can hear them. Question about the questions is important because when you start, it's important to have the right questions. Often people have the wrong questions they are trying to answer. And the most obvious problem or challenge you have currently and answering to that might not help you actually, at least not in the transition. So questions like how does this system behave or how does these things affect the behavior of the people in this organization? Those are probably a good questions. Then the first one was that do we have some kind of silver bullet? No, we don't.
Of course we don't. This is an agile agile conference, and we foolish, you know, say something. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
So I'm currently working in a small company. I think our biggest problem is at the moment that there is lack of trust. How do you build that trust? When people are stressed, there's we have goals, but there's constantly things that we underestimate, and then we have, so that sort of that builds up the lack of trust. So how do you get back to the track of building that trust?
Well, the easy answer is that there is no silver bullet. To get the trust, you have to be trustworthy. When you first go to the software developers or to the team and start discussing, the first thing you have to say is that let's start to do our work, our own work, as well as possible. That's the number one thing. You cannot skip that part. You have to start working as a group, as a team, as well as possible. And you will get the trust as you go. You cannot get it, you know, just given.
Perhaps you can use the last tool we proposed. You can weight your actions and your interactions and so on that you have inside the company, and whether they build the trust or they destroy it.
Time for one more, maybe? Yes, go ahead, Matti. Tonight. You tell me. Any other questions? Well, I have a question for you. How does it sound? We have done it. We have not done it, but we are in a way of doing it. Does it sound feasible? Does it sound possible for you to actually do the same? Remember, this is not theory. This is something that we are. It is ongoing. Does it sound possible for you to go tomorrow and start doing it by yourself? Who dares to say no? Couple of hands. Any doubts, please?
Well, if I can elaborate. I think the biggest doubt that I have is that when the bosses that are sort of, they're wrong. They have the wrong ways of working. So how do you go about changing their work? Below them.
By changing yourself.
Yeah.
Number one thing is to do your own work as well as possible, and then don't worry about them.
It's a difficult question.
Okay, Anssi. Like personal? No, none.
Again, that's the wrong question. It's not about the money. Well, that's very important because we are doing business and we need to pay the salaries and so on, you know it. But it's also about job satisfaction, doing a good work, having some kind of purpose beyond the profit.
Mm.
But, yeah.
But then, if you ask about results, or are you asking about results? There are many good things which have been happening. For example, the clients used to complain all the time with really big red buttons. And now I just, a couple of weeks back, I talked with our director and he said that, well, it's strange, but we haven't really had any big complaints from our clients recently. Well, this is not really a metric. It's not really a measurement that you can say that, yes, this is because of. It's not. It's not because of. But it's still an indicator.
And we have lots of these kind of smells.
Yes. That's kind of indicators. There are lots of these kind of indicators that we could study, maybe during another session later on. But of course, it's... Anyway, what I can say, I don't know about Ville, but it has been extremely fun. And if you look, if you want to have that kind of environment at your own workplace, that you really want to go every day and have fun, do it this way. Yes, the final question.
tightly co-located, not multi. Well, we are all in Finland. About 50 to 60. What is the accepted count? I don't know. And having several different products and lots of clients. I don't know. What can I say more? But quite typical. Typical of software development or organization with its own products. And
true. Well, basically, yes. Anyway, thank you very much. You will be seeing us around here. Come and talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's almost time for a break, but don't leave just yet. We have one little small thing still coming. So next, Jukka Raimovaara from Mental House will tell you something interesting about related to QR codes and your name badges. So after these 5 minutes, there's the break, there's coffee and some free snacks on the lobby. And the next speaker will start at 1:45. But now, Jukka again.
Hi. Who here knows what QR codes are? Good. Okay, here's a little artistic interpretation. Okay, no remote. Okay, we have brought you a new fun way to manage your conference contacts and compete at the same time while networking with people. And also we are saving the environment because we are reducing the need for business cards that are probably just filling out the landfills. So we have a little competition for you. Whoever makes most connections during this conference will win an Apple I product. We are not telling yet which one, but you will find out. Deadline is at 16:15. And you make connections by scanning QR codes. And these QR codes are already distributed to you. They are in your badge. There is another paper behind this one. You just switch them around, and you're participating in this event or competition. But when you're switching it, you're agreeing that we can display your information at our website. So, but to take part in this competition, you scan your own code, then you enter the PIN number that is on the original paper and enter it to the website. After that, you're registered and log in. And during this, we hope that you have received an email that also contains your login information. You can edit your information here, put this Twitter and all kind of stuff that we didn't have from your original registration. Here's my page. I can edit it. Then I have scanned one of the organizers, Tero's badge. And there's a button that I can send a V-card for myself. It sends me an email that contains the contact information so I can add it to myself. So here are a few QR reader software. You can also Google for it, search for your App Store or Google Play or whatever. This is still a little bit agile development phase of maybe third beta testing of this software, so and the process of scanning this. So I'll be hanging around the lobby. Come talk by if you have any questions or problems or just want to scan my badge. So thank you, and now time for break.